are, Lord. And we rejoice in that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys.
Wow, ladies. Wow. Just such a powerful expression of worship. And just opened my eyes several times and looked around the room and just know the things that many of you have walked through, are walking through, the way you're showing up for the bus, reaching out to Jesus and choosing hope through the truth that revives our souls. Is one of the most beautiful pictures in the world. And it's so life-giving to look around and see our sisters. The very fact that someone would be walking through some of the things that I know you've walked through and have your hands in the air is a testimony. You don't even have to open your mouth. That is a testimony, and it speaks loud. And I'm so thankful for the time we have to live in this space together over the weekend and just let that encouragement come up and well up from the inside as the Spirit is spurred and stirred in all of us. And so thank you for coming to the bus stop this weekend, right? Thank you for coming to the bus stop, for showing up at the bus stop. And here's the thing, we can keep showing up at the bus stop all throughout the year and checking in with our friends to make sure that they're showing up at the bus stop too. Like in the morning when you're at the bus stop and God puts one of these women on your heart, you might text them and go, hey, are you at the bus stop? I didn't see you this morning, right? Or like if you see something that's going amok in their life to go, hey, have you been getting on the bus? You know, it's important that we spur one another on. And this same sisterhood that feels so good in this moment needs to continue to feel good. And not just with the sisters in Christ that we have here. We all have companionship with sisters outside of this house that we can take these things back and share. Revival spreads. Revival, it comes from the inside and works its way out, all right? So what an amazing 4 days we've had. Left to ourselves, our souls cleave to the dust, right? Revive us, O Lord, according to your word. And ladies, that is our verse for today. We've been building it in all weekend, so it's not new. It should be built in our hearts somewhat already, but say it with me. Our souls cleave to the dust. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. We said that as a group using the word our. The word really is my. We've got to acknowledge that ourselves, right? My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. And I think it would be really wise for all of us walking out of this door to have that in our hearts as we go and go back into our lives. We've been talking about that all weekend. We're going to talk about it just a little bit more, bring it to a close this morning. But I want to mention, I hope you'll enjoy the little goodies we gave you in your bag. If you don't know, that little, I don't have mine on top. Somebody does have their little daisy here, somebody's. This little daisy thing goes on top of your straw. That's what it's for, okay? So if you didn't know. And then remember at the beginning when we were opening the box, the treasure box, we said every letter forms a word that forms a phrase that forms a paragraph and goes on and on to get to where we have this whole book. And so every one of these letters that we've been using to form, we made you a little coaster so you can use that to remind you that little saying is on the back. This is a little bookmark. You can mark Psalm 119 in your Bible, okay? And if you haven't looked it up yet, and I'm praying this QR code is working, because the one last night was working when we made it. But this little card that QR code will take you to a page on our website that is hidden. It's not, you know, we haven't made it available to anyone else. But it is, we've been using these same cards as a team, as we prayed over you. I think I told you Jessica's daughter Ellie made them. That's right, I did show them to you the other day, so I won't bring that up on my phone. But literally, every section of Psalm 119 is there. And you can just download those pictures and have them right there on your phone or your device as an image. So hopefully those things will be helpful to you, you know, as you go out from here as well. But the reality is, we know, our souls do cleave to the dust. So we need that revival every day, right? You're going to need it tomorrow morning in a different way than you needed it today. And having Psalm 119 handy can really be a blessing for that. Because Psalm 119, I think more than probably most passages in the Bible, reminds us to get on the bus. It just reveals again and again, get in the Word. Get in the Word. You need this Word. You need this Word. You need it for this and that and this and that and all the things. So I want to just spend a little bit of time this morning just kind of cheering you on in that. And to start, I want to take you back to my college days for a minute. I grew up in Newport News, Virginia, and I went off to college, to a Christian college in Ohio, in Cincinnati. So it was about a 13-hour drive. It was a long way from home. Hardly knew anybody there. My first 2 years of college, I did not have a car. And so that was really challenging, not to have a vehicle to get where I needed to go. The college sat up on this hill, and it was in a not so nice area of town, so it wasn't like you could just walk places much. So I was really reliant on other people that I really didn't even know to take me where I needed to go. And because of that, a lot of times I ended up in places I really didn't want to be because I just had to go where they were going. Or a lot of times I was stuck and I couldn't get where I wanted to go. I can't tell you how many times the college wasn't a really big college, and so a lot of the kids there were from areas surrounding that area, and they would go home for the weekend. And I would be one of the very few people left in the dorm. And our college didn't serve meals on Sunday night. And so more often than not, I would go downstairs in this basement where there was this big boiler room thing, you know, for the heat and all that. And they had some vending machines down there. And I would get a bag of chips and I would get Hostie's Susie Q's. Does anybody remember what those were? It's chocolate cake all filled with white cream in the middle. And that would be my dinner on Sunday night. But that's all I had because I was stuck and I couldn't get anywhere else to go to get food. But the summer after my sophomore year, my parents had picked me up to bring me home for a visit. I had stayed at the school over the summer doing some ministry work with them, but I was coming home, and we were riding home and drove up to the house, and there was a brand new car, a white Mustang, sitting in front of my house with this huge pink bow on it. My dad had gone out and bought it for me. I knew we were going to maybe shop for a used car, maybe. In fact, on the way home, on the drive, he was kind of playing with my mind, and he was saying, I've really been kind of looking around, just hadn't been able to find anything, you know. So I was just totally shocked when we drove up and saw this car. And so now I had access. Like, I could go anywhere I wanted. It's this brand new car, all the things. And so grateful for it. But here's the thing. I had to get in that car, and I had to use that car, or I still wouldn't have been able to go where I wanted to go and needed to go. And likewise, many of us have been dependent on people in this world, thinking people would take us where we needed to go, right? Or we just totally isolate ourselves from people, and then we're stuck, and we have to deal with and eat or whatever, you know, whatever we can come up with on our own. And when we live like that, that creates challenges too numerous to even count. Or, you know, we find ourselves in places of just death, really. And we end up in a lot of places God never intended for us to be. We've talked about that all weekend. We often feel stuck. But your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, has given us a gift, right? He's given us a treasure in His Word. This is your vehicle. Think of God giving it to you with a big, fat, pink bow on it. And it might have surprised you to see how amazing this Word is, just like I was so surprised that morning. But we have to get in this and use it, or we're still going to be stuck. We're still going to end up in places we don't want to be because we'll be reliant on this world and the people of it. You know, I've been riding on the revival bus for many years, and I know that many of you have as well. There are so many things that I could share, and we've been sharing already this weekend about riding on the revival bus, being in God's Word is what that means. But this morning, you know, time is constraining us, so we only have but so much time. And so I really sought the Lord, what would you have me to share? And I'm not talking so much about how to get in the Word or why we should. We've been talking about that a lot already this weekend. What I really feel like the Lord would have me share this morning is some dynamics of being in the bus and what that looks like, all right? Again, not going to share all of them. There are so many, just a handful. We're going to look at 7. And then I'm going to pray some of Psalm 119 over us as we finish. So here are some of those things. The first one, it is bright inside the bus, okay? When we walk in God's word, it's very bright. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now, there's a lot of things that could be said about light, but I think it's most important to note that light reveals. When there's bright light, it reveals things. When we're inside the bus, truth is revealed to us. Truth about God and truth about us. And we need to embrace the bright. You know, there are a lot of things we do in this world to kind of shield ourselves from the bright. You know, we wear sunglasses, we get an umbrella, you know, we pull the blinds, all the things, or things that we don't want people to see. We need to just embrace the bright. When you get on the bus, it's going to be bright, and you're going to see things about God, but you're going to see things about yourself. And sometimes those things are amazing, like when God tells us we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we have value in His presence. When God tells us you've got a root of jealousy in your life, we don't want to hear that, right? You know, one of the things, I didn't share this last night, but one of the things the Lord has really revealed to me about some of the loneliness I have dealt with is that it comes from a root of jealousy. I don't have time to go into all the reasons why this morning on that. But that's not fun to see. That's not fun to see at all. In fact, the woman who revealed that to me, there's a woman that God did put in my life for a season that really was a mentor for a very short time. And we were meeting and stuff, and she pointed that out to me as we were in God's word. And I didn't like it at all. It really stung. It really hurt. Because I wanted to blame the loneliness on all the other things. But it really was coming from that depraved place in me. And I could have gotten off the bus or stay in the bus and let God deal with that. And a lot, I'll get ahead of myself on that. Let me stay on that. Wait a minute. All right. So it's bright. Here's the thing about all of these things. There's so much I could say about all of them, but we gotta just tone it in for today because of our time. But remember that word bright, that brightness in the bus is gonna also reveal the grace of God. And so that's why you gotta stay put. That's why you gotta not turn out the light or say, I'm getting off at this place and don't wanna ride anymore, right? Because God will open the door if we wanna get off. He will, but we wanna stay in the bright. As I was praying for you all, for one of you specifically, one morning, I was, like I told you yesterday, I like to pray scripture out loud, and I was praying into that, the unfolding of your word gives light, and I was praying for this specific one of you, and I said, God, she doesn't need to be taken from darkness to light, she's already saved, she needs to go from dim to bright, and I was like, whoa. And I thought, wow, that's all of us, right? Yeah. We've already gone from darkness to light. We've been saved. But we need to go from dim to bright. From dim to bright. That is my new quest. Lord, take me from dim to bright. Help me stay on the bus. It's beautiful and life-giving where there's light. I mean, just look out there. I mean, right now, I'm looking right where the sun is coming in through that. It is so bright, I can't even see anything. But you know what? God can see me. And then He can reveal the things that He wants to do in my life. So that's number one. It's bright inside the bus. Number two, God is your teacher. In verse 102, He says, I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. See, I think a lot of times we try to teach ourselves. We listen to a lot of people. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's a total upgrade when God Himself teaches you. And I think that's where real life change happens. That's when you say, I'm going to restrain my feet because I've been learning from the God of heaven, right? No doubt we need to give personal effort to learning. And God has definitely appointed teachers to share his truth. I'm one of them, right? But don't miss this dynamic. When you get in your Bible, God is there to teach you himself. If you get on the bus thinking you're responsible for finding all the things, figuring God's word out, you're going to have a very frustrating ride. I've learned one of the best things you can do when you climb into God's word is just say, teach me. I don't know. And then bask how he does. And when God himself teaches you, there will be revival. David said, I've not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. And when God teaches us, we're changed. And here's one way it does change us. It's a place inside the bus, number three, to learn how to walk. I love when David says in verse 133, in fact, I've given my life to ministering this prayer. He says, establish my footsteps in your word so sin won't have dominion over me. As you know, that's the foundation of our ministry, and it speaks so much about being in God's word. But when we ride the bus, one of the most important things you're going to learn is how to walk. See, you're riding and you're learning how to walk. In other words, what you learn on the bus should have a great effect in the moments that you're not on the bus. On your moments you're walking in life instead of riding. See, when you ride the bus, you learn how to walk in truth. Bottom line, your time in the Word, in the bus, should mold the way you live when you're not in the bus, right? When you're walking in this world. So it's a place, yes, to ride, but it's a place where you learn how to walk, all right? But number four, it's also a place where you learn how to fight, where you learn how to fight. See, words are weapons in the spiritual realm. Remember, the very first night we talked about that young woman who said, this was me before the world wrote its bad words all over my life, right? Words are weapons. I mean, what was that little saying as kids? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true. That is not true at all. Words are weapons. And the more you're in the bus, in the word, and taking hold of the treasures of the law, and the commandments, and the statutes, and the precepts, and the judgments, and the testimonies, the more you're going to learn how to fight with those words. And you're going to know how to fight when the enemy of death speaks lies that come in the form of words over your life. I love what David says in verses 41 and 42. He says, may your loving kindness, this is his prayer, come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. And then he says, so I will then have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. We need an answer. You know, when the enemy came to Eve in the garden, she didn't know the answer. And so she started talking and having conversation with the enemy. And he was twisting things and turning things. And she didn't know the truth enough to know what to say back. When the enemy speaks to us, that word should be ready on our lips to say back. We'll have an answer for the one who is reproaching us. The enemy hates us. And he will do anything he can to launch words of death into our minds. But on the bus, we learn how to fight with words of life. So yes, it's a place where we learn how to fight, but it's also a place of worship. See, being in the word is going to bring out your worship girl, all right? It's just going to bring it out. In this same section where David was speaking in the point before about having an answer for him who reproaches him, he also said, and I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I love this because over and over, David, in this whole section, he's speaking about what he's going to do with the word of God. And worship is one of those things. See, when we're in the word, we see who our God is. And this worship just wells up on the inside of us because his word is continually revealing his presence to us and his person. I don't know if you've ever been on a bus trip like you're all going to camp, you know, or something like that. And a lot of times what happens is songs just start erupting, right? And you're singing all these different songs on the bus. We worship together based on the things that God, according to the word, like the things that we've learned of our God, and we worship, and this worship swells up inside of us. On the revival bus, there's going to be a songs of praise all the time. It's where God is continually being exalted. When we're in the bus, God should have the attention more than us. It's all about him more than it's about us, all right? Which takes us to the next one. You're not the driver of the bus. You're not the driver of the bus. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You don't even have to set the GPS for the driver. Does your husband ever do that? He hits you the phone and go, hey, will you do this? You know, bye. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Your phone doesn't work the same way mine does, all the different things, right? You don't have to do that. Just get on. Yeah, you don't have to be the navigator. Get on the bus. You don't have to drive the bus. And that is such a simple word, but that word can go deep down inside of us, because especially as women, we feel responsible for everything. And we feel responsible to control everything, or we want to control everything. You're not the driver of the bus. It is totally okay to get on the bus and just say, God, I need you to take me to revival. I have absolutely no idea how to get there. I'm going to get in your word. I'm just going to start copying your word. I'm just going to start memorizing your word. I'm just going to, you know, be here in your word. I'm going to do whatever I can do with the word. I'm going to run the way of your commandments. I ran to the bus stop, God, but I have no idea how we're going to get there. And he will surprise you with the way. He will surprise you with the way. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, can you recommend a Bible study to me about peace? Or can you tell me the best Bible study for marriage? Or can you, you know, whatever the thing. Why do we do that? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. I don't think it's the best thing to do. Why do we do that? Because we think we're responsible. I've got to find the answer. I've got to dig it out. I've got to be able to say, this is what I need, and this is how we're going to get there, right? And there's a lot of dynamics about all of that that I think are subpar of what God has for us and what he's given us. It's like driving the used car that barely makes it up the hill when God's given us a bus with a pink bow on it, okay? We don't have to do that with a driver and probably snacks and things like that on the bus, right? Yeah, how sweet is your word, right? All of these. God's word is powerful and effective. Any way you get in it, a Bible study on peace or marriage or things, and those are wonderful tools. I'm not saying that they're not. But in all my years of getting in God's word, there's been a lot of them now, I have experienced the Holy Spirit brings the most life when I just get in his word and I let him lead. It's about being in relationship with him. Not a specific destination that you think you have to go to and figure out how to get there. He will speak to you out of the abundance of his heart. And more often than not, here's what I find. He speaks from a passage that at face value wouldn't have anything to do with the need that I think that I have. Those are those transcendent moments where you know the God of heaven has spoken to me. And it's glorious. And it builds your faith to just stay in that word. Get in God's word. Read, meditate, memorize, copy, listen every day. Run the way of his commandments. And you'll find he'll speak to you about those things that you know you need and take you to places where you know you have need, and then all the others where you don't even realize you do. All right? You just have to get on the bus. You don't have to drive it. And let me just add this too. I've found one of the very best practices is this. Get on the bus and sit in the same seat for a long time. What do I mean by that? Get in the same passage and stay there for a long time. The stuff on the surface is just on the surface. If you want to get the insights, if you want to get the wisdom, you've got to meditate on that verse. And you'll find so much. God will take you to such amazing places. Last year, I spent almost the entire year studying Matthew 5 through 7 because we studied at Fall Bible Getaway about the Sermon on the Mount. The theme was yes. And I wouldn't say I was at a plateaued place at all when I came here, but I thought, what else can you do with this thing, right? But I knew that we were going into 23 strong, and I was going to teach it again. And I thought, okay, we're just going to kind of recycle the things that I've been learning, draw them out a little bit more. And yes, we've done that. But all year long, God has continued just giving more and more and more. And you know what? I've come to realize there's a lot more that I still don't even know. And we've only got 2 months left, and we could stay there another year. We're not going to, but we could stay in the same seat. Don't think you gotta go all over the place and find all the verses about peace. You'll have this general idea of peace and that it's out there for you. And I'm not saying God won't use that either. It's His word, it's powerful, it's effective. I'm just telling you from my experience. These are just personal, heartfelt things I'm sharing with you as a sister in Christ. Get on the bus and stay in the same seat. Amazing things happen when you say, this is my seat and I'm not getting out. Move, this is mine. You can sit here too. We'll sit one on top of the other, but this is my seat. Right? I'm going to sit here and let God speak to me because I know He will. All right? It's worth that. You'll find things there that are worth more than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Right? And that really takes us to the last thing I want to share. And it's that the Word of God is a place where you collect treasures, which takes us right back to where we started. Right? I rejoice in your Word as one who finds great treasure. The Word of God is a treasure. So it's a place where we, as we get in that bus, collect those personal treasures. I once heard a pastor named Bill Johnson say, the longer you are in Christ, in His Word, you should have treasures all over your life that you love to talk about. Kind of like if somebody came to your home and they were there for the first time and they're like, oh, I want to see your house. I want to see where you live. And you walk around and you're like, yeah, we got that when we went to Florida, and we did this with my daughter. Oh yeah, that's a picture. I did it. These are the treasures of your heart. You're walking them through your house. When people come into your life, you should be able to go, oh yeah, when God did this for me, and He changed my mind in that way, or I heard the Lord say this, or this happened in my heart, or God used my hands to do this. All over your life, as you tell your story, you should be able to point back to things that God has spoken that are now treasures in your life. Those things breed revival, not only in you as you tell those stories. They build your faith because you're remembering, and that comforts you, right, as you look back. But it also then spurs revival. People are like, are they really like that? Like, they really live like that? And that goes, I want that. I want to live like that, true. The Word is a treasure. Being in God's Word is a place where we collect treasures, and those treasures mean something to us. We can't stop talking about them. Just like if I went down today and found that piece of sea glass, I would have told you all about it. I wouldn't be able to help myself from talking about it. I'm going to have a new grandbaby, so just get ready. I'm not going to be able to not talk about my grandbaby, right? She, Mackenzie hopes, maybe he, she, we'll let you know next Sunday, will be a treasure to me. In the same way, the treasures that God puts in my heart and in my life, I should be talking about those things. And hopefully this weekend you're going home with some that you're going to talk about. Look for those moments to talk about them. See, throughout this weekend, we've gotten on the bus. And we've been collecting treasures from His Word, His law, His statutes, His precepts, His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies. And, you know, after 30 years, I do have lots of treasures, and I'm so grateful for them. So grateful for them. I want to encourage you, write those treasures in your books. Keep that. That can be a gift you give to your grandchildren one day for them to see in your life. You know, it matters what your grandchildren call you one day. I know that's true. But it really matters more what they see in your life. Amen. One of our ladies here this weekend, her granddaughter called her and was asking, she's 14, and she was asking her questions about how to read her Bible. She said, can we have a conversation? And so she called her, and she was asking her how to read her Bible and how to study this. No greater gift. No greater gift. You know, usually at Fall Bible Getaway, we close out our weekend with a prayer circle. This year instead, we're going to do it a little different. I'm going to circle you, and I'm going to pray some of my treasures from Psalm 119 over you. I'm going to start at the beginning. Just let the Holy Spirit lead and pray over you. I tried to plan it. Didn't go well. Wrestled with the Lord through that because I kind of like to be in control. He was like, just let me drive the bus. So I am. But I think we're going to start at the beginning. We're not going to go through all 176 verses. I know we got to check out. All right. But I am going to pray these scriptures over you that the Lord brings to mind to focus upon. And so you can bow your head in prayer. You can open your hands and hold a prayer. You can get your Psalm 119 sheets out if you want and just kind of follow along. I'm not going to say, and now at verse 12, or I'm not going to do that. Just kind of move through the sections as the Lord leads. Let's pray. Lord, your word says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. Lord, we want to be women who seek you with all our hearts. We want to know you, and we know that comes from your word. Let us be people, now that we've ridden on the bus, who actually walk in the law of the Lord, who walk in the way of the Lord. Lord, David said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And God, I just pray that this word that has been hidden in our hearts this weekend would cause us not to get on the buses of sin, but to keep showing up at the bus stop of your word, of Christ himself, and we would live in a place of righteousness. Lord, open our eyes that we would behold wonderful things from your word, that we would see in your law the truths of our Savior Jesus, God, that we would see the law that protects us and sustains us and carries us and literally gives us life, God. Open our eyes that we would behold that. God, our souls cleave to the dust. Revive us, O Lord, according to your word. Our souls weep because of grief. God, strengthen us according to your word. We need your strength. We need strength to endure. We need strength to persist. We need strength to be carried through. We need strength to live in righteousness. So, Lord, would you do that for us this day according to your word? God, would you help us to run the way of your commandments? And would you enlarge our hearts? Lord, teach us the way of your statutes. Make us walk in the way of your law. Lord, revive us according to your righteousness. May your loving kindness also come to us, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. God, then we will have an answer for him who reproaches us. Lord, thank you so much for giving us that answer, that we don't have to be defeated in death, but we can live. Lord, remember your word to your servant in which you have made us hope. This is our comfort in our affliction, that your word has revived us. Lord, you have moved comfort through this house this weekend through your word. We're so thankful, Lord, for that. Let that comfort us in the night as we remember the things of old, God. Let it become mine. Let it become each woman. Let her be able to say that in this room. This has become mine that I observe your precepts. Lord, you are our portion. You are our best portion. God, help us to follow your commandments. Lord, where the cords of the wicked have encircled us, God, let us not be affected by that. Let us rise up at midnight and give you thanks. Let us be able to see that the earth is literally full of your loving kindness. Teach us your statutes that show that to us, God. We're so grateful. Lord, you've dealt well with your servant according to your word. Teach us good discernment and knowledge, for we believe in your commandments. Lord, before we were afflicted, we went astray, but now we keep your word. Help us to see these afflictions in our lives as really treasures from you that have literally saved us in many ways. I know I sat with some of these women yesterday right here on this couch, and they said, if I was not dealing with this that's so hard in my life, I would not be seeking the Lord. And so God, help us
to have that perspective, your perspective. You made us. Your hands made us and fashioned us, O Lord. Give us understanding that we might know your word, we might know your precepts. May those who fear you see us and be glad, because they'll see that we are waiting for your word. May your compassion come to us, O Lord, as well. Oh God, our souls languish for your salvation. Many times we say, when are you going to comfort me, God? When is this going to end? Feels like we're being prepared like a wineskin in the smoke, God. But you got us. We know that you do. Revive us, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, that we may keep your word. Forever, O Lord, that word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, God, and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances. Help us never to forget that. When the doubts come, the questions come, help us to remember that your faithfulness and your word are as fixed as the sun coming up and down every day. Let that sun remind us every single day that we would love your law and we would meditate on it all the day. Lord, let your commandments make us wiser than our enemies, God. May we have more insight than all our teachers because we've meditated on your precepts, God. May we understand more than the aged because your testimonies have been our meditation, God. Thank you, Lord. May we restrain our feet from every evil way that we might keep your word, God. May your word teach us and counsel us how sweet it is to our taste. Sweeter than honey to our mouth. From your precepts, we get understanding. We hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to our feet, God, and a light to our path. Give us understanding that we would keep your word. Lord, we hate people who are double-minded. We hate looking in the mirror and seeing ourselves being double-minded, God. Give us understanding according to your word. Help us not to live in a useless way. Our deceitfulness will be useless to our lives, God, if we walk in a double-minded way. God, our flesh trembles for fear of you, and we are afraid of your judgments, God. Lord, be surety for us. Be surety for us. Lord Jesus, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We're so grateful for your word. Would you turn to us and be gracious to us in the same way that you turned to the people of old? I think of the way you turned to Esther. We were talking about her last night at the table, God. Catherine was talking about her and what an amazing testimony she has. I think of the way you turned to Hannah, that you turned to Deborah, God. Some of these saints of old, and you were gracious to them. Would you be gracious to us just like that? And would you establish our footsteps in your word so that we will not sin against you? Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your judgments in all of our lives in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. We say thank you. May your judgments be joy to us. God, let our cry come before you, Lord. Would you hear us, God? Let us know that you are near. The wicked seem very near, God. Would you let us know that you are near? All of these things that we've learned of you from of old, we know that they are true. God, our afflictions are many, but your grace shows up every morning for us. May we know that the sum of your word is truth, meaning every word, every letter, added up together, it equals truth. May we know that, Lord. Even when princes, people in authority over us, even things in the spiritual realm that seem to have authority sometimes, and they seem to persecute us without cause, may we know and may we delight in your word as a treasure, as one who finds a great treasure, God. Thank you for your word. May our soul keep your testimonies and your precepts because we love them exceedingly. Lord, let our cry come before you. Give us understanding according to your word. Let our supplication come before you. Deliver us according to your word. Let our lips utter praise, God. Let our tongue sing of your word. Let our soul live that it may praise you. God, we have gone astray like a lost sheep. We have wandered off to so many different buses. God, we're getting on the bus today. And we're not going to ride these other buses. We will be in your word. Lord, you will find us there, not forgetting your commandments. Thank you for the gift of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.